That sound can only mean one thing. It's Saturday morning, and you are tuned in to Rosie on the House, a 26-year Arizona Saturday morning tradition, and we are in the midst of... I always catch myself. It's not winter rye. It's just ryegrass. It just happens to be the perfect seed for our tempered weather.
It's that time.
It's that time. And part of the most important thing is making sure that seed does not dry out. So are your sprinklers ready? Are the timers set correctly? Are you prepared to have a successful germination? Well, that is our talking points for today. Join with us is Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping. He knows a thing or two about irrigation systems. So if you've got sprinkler questions, concerns, problems, or anything in your landscape, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. This is the first hour of the broadcast, hour number two. Generally an open line hour, but we have a special guest in from Prescott today talking sustainability, design, builds, Mr. Tom Riley of Renovations. And then the 3 o'clock third hour, we have Dan King of Harmon Solar talking exactly what it says, solar. So that's what we have lined up for you today. We appreciate you joining us. And again, to participate, it's 1-888-767-4348. Mr. Jenkins.
Good morning.
Starting at the curb, the water's coming in from the city. And most applications, if it's a well, it's still coming into the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
if you have a well, you might have a pressure tank. It's going to store some water pressure. And then you're going to have a main line coming into the house, to the structure. And, of course, if it's city water, you're going to have a water meter comes off your city water main, usually out in the street, might be in your front yard, and it's going to come to the house. That's the service line to the house.
And from there, that's mm-hmm. where we tee off for our landscaping.
That's where it all begins. That's the beginning of the irrigation system. And we tie into that line, sometimes out at the water meter, if it's appropriate, sometimes at the house.
But right never comes before in. The water
meter. No. The city would frown on that. It'd really reduce your water bill, but you wouldn't get away with that for very long. So we'll tie into that service line. And at that point, regardless of what kind of sprinkler or drip system that you have, you better have a backflow preventer. What's
and
a backflow
better,
preventer?
Is that by code or is that just good best practice?
Well, in addition to, it is code. And virtually anywhere you're going to be in the state, you're going to be required to have the correct kind of backflow preventer. And it's the little thingy that turns off the water to the sprinklers and it keeps the sprinkler water out of the drinking water. And really, it's protecting the water supply. And it prevents back siphonage or back pressure of the what we call non-potable water or irrigation water. Once it goes into the sprinklers, we don't want to touch it again. We don't want to have it in our drinking glasses. We don't want to have it in the shower. We don't want to have it in touching our body. So it's non-potable at that point.
So when we turn on the sprinklers and go run and play for fun, that's mm-hmm. not
well,
suggested?
You know, it's the same water that comes out of the tap in the kitchen, but you know, you don't want to have the ability to pull that water back into your drinking water supply. Let's say you put down a lawn chemical or a fertilizer or a pesticide. You wouldn't want that contaminated water to be able to be pulled back or vacuumed. You know, for those of us that are old enough to remember waterbeds, remember if you put the hose in there, you can create a siphon and you know, go up out of a window and then actually drain the bed. Well, the same thing can happen with an irrigation system. If you have a drop in water pressure on the supply side, there is, in theory, the ability to siphon or vacuum that water back into the drinking water. So we have a vacuum breaker or anti-siphon valve, or in most situations, it's called a pressure type vacuum breaker or PVB for short. And that's the thing that keeps the sprinkler water safe. Out of the drinking water.
And is that above ground?
Yes, it is.
That's what we generally see at mm-hmm. the front of the house when the water line comes up before it goes into the house.
Correct.
And usually our first hose bib is right there.
That's often, yes. It's usually there because we want to get that water. The best source for the water for a sprinkler system particularly is going to be at that service line, which is usually in the front yard, most homes, although it could be the backyard, could be the side yard. It really depends upon the construction of the house. In any case, we want to get the best source of water at the main line and put that backflow preventer in. From there, now we're talking sprinkler water, and that's our line. That's where we start.
So how much have we got invested so far in that valve?
You know, a pressure-type vacuum breaker to install just the device itself can be $300 or $400. If you're putting in a more stringent kind of backflow preventer, which is possible, it can be two or three times that. And it really is very installation dependent.
for all intents and purposes, we'll just stick with the 400 for now.
Yes.
All right.
We've spent enough. In any case, that gets us a reliable source of water now that we can use to design an irrigation system. And since today's topic is lawn sprinklers, we'll kind of stick with that a little bit. I think all of us are familiar with drip irrigation and drip systems and a little black, what people like to call rubber hoses. And we can get into that if we need to. But the lawn irrigation system does take proper design. And really, whoever's going to be laying it out needs to understand the basics of hydraulics. In other words, the water flow and piping. And there are some rules of thumb that can apply, but I really suggest that if anybody's going to try and put a sprinkler system in, they take the time to understand the water flow of the sprinkler heads and the water that's available at the water supply. And there are lots of professional sources where you can get help. That's what we do, is design and install them. So, but it's important to understand those principles, or else you're really flying blind. You're just guessing, and that's when things don't work after you spend a whole bunch of time putting them in.
Now, how much does grade come into factor? Most times when you're moving into a new home, it's been graded pretty flat, or at least the whole subdivision was, or the backyard's pretty flat. But there's a lot of slopes in the state.
Sure. We have a lot of mountainside properties and a lot of areas with different levels. A couple things. Back to the backflow preventer. The backflow preventer typically needs to be 12 inches above the highest outlet of the system. And so in some cases, if you have a slope going up a hill, there's another kind of backflow preventer that has to be put in that's more stringent. And for short, we call it an RP. It's a reduced pressure principle backflow assembly. Big word. In any case, that's the thing that protects that sort of source when we have something where the outlet is above that backflow preventer. Most residences can go with a pressure type vacuum breaker, which is code when the sprinklers are lower than that device.
Now, what type of pipe are we running to this at this point? Because it's not old galvanized anymore coming in from the street.
I remember the day we took all the galvanized off the trucks when I was a kid working for my dad. We took all the cutting
and threading
equipment. We did all that. That was late 70s, early 80s. In any case, we use from the backflow preventer, which, by the way, is typically installed on copper piping above ground. We like to use copper above ground. And this is pressurized all the time. So we want, good quality work, copper. Below ground, once we get into the ground, it's perfectly acceptable to use PVC, polyvinyl chloride piping. And in an application, a residence where you're going to run that, what we call mainline, I do like to use, and everybody knows the buzzword, schedule 40 for that line. It's a very high pressure rating, a very thick pipe. It's very durable. And if it's assembled correctly, very long lasting.
What are the other schedules? Numbers.
We're getting into a deep subject here, but schedule relates to wall thickness of the pipe. There's also another way to rate a pipe called class, and that's a pressure rating. Suffice to say, in a residence, if you're going to be running a 3/4 or 1 inch, and I like 1 inch, you're going to use schedule 40 to go from that pressure vacuum breaker to the automatic control valve. That's the main line.
Not the main line from the house. This is after
we're talking sprinklers.
Preventer.
Correct. That's a service line to the house. When I say main line, that's in my world. And we like to use a 1 inch main line.
Coming in from the street's usually a little bigger.
It could be. Sometimes it's smaller, actually.
Sometimes it's smaller.
Right. So, but we're going to evaluate that water source, run that 1 inch line to our valves, and then from those automatic valves, that's what goes to the sprinklers. And those are called lateral lines. When you get out of the valve, once you've gone through your automatic valve, we don't need schedule 40 anymore. A lot of people think that everything has to be schedule 40. It's more expensive. It's harder to work with. The rating that we use is class 200, and then in a little tiny size half inch, it's class 315. That's more than enough. That's so far above the working pressure of those lines. This is still quality equipment. It's not that eggshell-like stuff you might find. We used to find back in the 70s and 80s, a couple of hardware stores used to sell some stuff. It was so thin you could see light through it. there's some thought process that goes into selecting the material and not just blindly buying Schedule 40 piping for everything.
Now you tell me.
Sorry.
So because the valve for each one of our stations.
Correct.
You've reduced the pressure yet again. You don't need that schedule 40 because the water coming into that pipe is so much
And it's lower. Only on when the sprinklers are on. It's only pressurized intermittently. It's not pressurized all the time.
Good point.
Right. So that's fine. Class 200, more than tough enough. And then there is a process, again, back to the hydraulics, of understanding the sizes of the lines based on the sprinklers and what they need to operate. But most of the time when you're going to run a 1-inch pipe to your valves and then out of the valve, most of the time you can run a 3/4-inch class 200 line and then break down to 1/2-inch at the last couple of sprinkler heads.
Now, when we get there, now we've got our sprinkler head itself.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last couple of years, there has been a lot of new designs.
Yes.
Now, I say that. I read the press releases that Rainbird sends out, that Hunter sends out. New, improved water conservation, only X amount of, you know, less waste, exact spraying.
You know, and I'm a little old-fashioned when it comes to some of that stuff. I kind of miss some of the old equipment we used to work with. Boy, you just don't get that stuff anymore. But some of the newer, more precise things that we have in the market now, we have little heads which have rotary nozzles, which are very low precipitation, and our soils don't like a lot of water real fast. You see, when we had these rains recently, you get a big rain, the soil gets full of water, and the next time you get any water on it, what does it do?
Floods.
Runs off. It doesn't percolate in. So putting the water down slowly or a low precipitation sprinkler is a very efficient way of watering. And there's various brand names on the market. MP Rotator, that's Hunter. Toro Precision Series, they have one. Rainbird also has a rotary nozzle.
So you prefer the rotary where you see a stream that comes out as opposed to just a constant spray?
Well, here's where I'm old-fashioned. I wanted to address that topic because you brought it up. I'm a believer in just proper design and good old-fashioned pop-up sprinklers. I really, if it's well installed, if it's programmed and used correctly at the timer, I think you get a lot of efficiency out of that. And I'm a big believer, if you have something that can work with no moving parts versus something that has moving parts, what's likely to last longer?
Great point. We'll continue right after this.